Welcome, everyone. This is Living the Good Life. We are Sunday afternoon live in the Tampa Bay area, and this is Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are so glad that you have joined us. And what a wonderful day to be able to celebrate the presence of the Lord in each of our lives, and we are glad you've tuned in. And we have a wonderful live two-hour show with you. I will be joined in a little while with a couple people from our radio team. And we will have a wonderful time talking about the Word and the Lord and just encouraging you in all that God has to say to us today. We are a ministry that is located in Clearwater, Florida. That's where we mainly are. But yet we're global with a global prayer ministry with this radio broadcast that goes out every Sunday afternoon live. And we are in our seventh year on the radio and in this ministry, the outreach ministry. And we are just blessed every single week to come into your homes, or maybe you're driving down the road and you're listening to this broadcast that way. We also have a wonderful ability now to listen to past broadcasts. They are on our website. And thanks to our wonderful engineer, Cedric, and he does a great job doing that and getting them over to us and getting them on the website every single week. So there's several years of shows there for you to go and access and listen to the Word, hear the Word, and be encouraged by what God has to say to you. You can use it as a teaching tool. And just go to our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. I'll give that to you again, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. So go there and you can find out all about the ministry that we are in our 12th year and excited about what God is doing all the time. Had a great service this morning, Clearwater, and the Lord was just so present. And lives were changed, and people were prayed for, and people were praising God, and it was just a wonderful time. Followed that up by the first Sunday of every month, which is today for the month of July 2013. We go straight to the nursing home ministry that we have at Palm Garden in Clearwater, Florida, and that was amazing. We do that the first Sunday of every month and have a service with the people who live there, the residents, and my mother used to be there, and one of our people, Jeannie, used to live there, so we have a ministry that's ongoing there, has been going on for over 3 years, so we thank God for that opportunity once a month, and so that was just a wonderful time. People were praising God and raising hands and clapping, and oh, wow, it was just great. So I came straight from there to the radio station. So here we are, live with you today. We are in the book of 1 John. I'm teaching a series entitled Alive with Five. It's amazing what God is doing in these five chapters of the book of 1 John. John was the disciple that was the closest to Jesus. His brother James, you've heard of James and John, the disciples. John was the one that was right beside Jesus and hearing him and learning from him and just having that heart of God. John wrote the Gospel John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he also wrote the book of Revelation. So there's so much of our New Testament that was written by this one disciple, John. Good stuff. Really good. Excellent. So we've been really enjoying our study of the book of 1st John. Go with me to chapter 3. And as you find 1 John chapter 3, let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for the way your Spirit moves among us all the time. Lord, we just reach out in faith and trust you for the miracles that need to be done in every occasion, whether that be in the worship service, Bible study, or here on the air every Sunday afternoon. Lord, we trust you right now for those that need to hear now, or we'll listen later on our website to this show. Lord, let everything that happens, every word that is said, be to your honor and glory. And Lord, we rely, we trust completely on you. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 3, chapter 3, verse 1. I'm reading out of the Message Bible. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. We're going to come back and talk about this in a little while. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. Verse 2 of 1 John 3. But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him. And in seeing him, become like him. All of us who look forward to his coming, stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own. So as we study this chapter, we're going to learn what God expects of us and how we can walk in the love of God, and always knowing that at some time, it could be today, it could be any time, we have no idea when Jesus is coming back. A lot of people try to predict it, but the scripture says we're not really going to know. And when he does come back, we are going to be caught up together with him in the air, and we're going to see him like he is, and we will become like him. And we will, we are becoming like him right now. And that is as we walk this Christian walk and learn what he has for us. I really felt strongly that some of you need to start this show listening to this song. We ended our service this morning at Beacon of Hope with the song. We're going to start the radio show today with it. We Shall Behold Him by Sandy Patty.
Preparing his head, the star shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall
about. Woo! That's where we're headed. Betty and Megan, are you on the line, girls from Indiana?
Woo! Yeah!
Hi, Pastor. Hey, girls, how are you? Oh, my. Was that wild or what? I never get tired of hearing that old song from Sandy Patty back in our area up there where you are right now in Indiana.
Yes, in fact, I had the opportunity to meet her because I worked at a bookstore there in town.
Uh-huh.
And it was right after I think she had recorded that song, and I mean, everyone was just a buzz. And
yes,
that song still brings me to my knees.
Yes,
it's just, I mean, we will behold him one
we
of
will.
These days.
We will. Oh, it doesn't that just lift you up, you know? And as we start chapter 3 here in 1 John. I mean, John says, you know, we're going to see him and we're going to be like him. We're going to see him the way he is. Megan, talk to me. What does that do for you, girl?
It gets me fired up. That song, that, you know, her voice, she just sounds like an angel
yes.
singing in
yes.
the heavens, because she's glowing with the Holy Spirit when she sings. It's just
Amen.
Beautiful.
Amen.
And, you know, that's something as Christians, we have something to look forward to, is that moment when Jesus makes his second appearance,
yes.
and that we're going to be made pure, and
Amen.
We get to exalt him the rest of our lives.
I
you can't even put words to it, Pastor.
It's you can't.
It's awesome.
It is just life-changing, you know, and when we, and you know, John had to experience this. He knew, you know, what it was going to be like. Jesus had talked to him. This is firsthand from the mouth of Jesus to his closest friend, John, telling him what it was going to be like. And John records that here, that who knows how we'll end up, but we know that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him, and in seeing him become like him, and all of us who look forward to his coming stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own. We want to become like him, because when we see him, we're going to see him just as he is. And he is full of love. God is love. We're going to find in chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. That's how John describes him. He's love. We got to get a handle on this love walk. And I think it's a fitting way to start this show today. So we have a goal. We know where we're headed. We're headed to eternal life with him forever. Oh, Betty, talk to me about that. Doesn't that just cause you to want to become like him?
Oh, yes. And you know, that's why it is so very important that if people don't know the Lord, come home, come to Jesus, because, you know, God's love, he loves us in a way that we're not even accustomed to being loved here
right.
on this earth.
Right.
He loves us unconditionally, and that's why, oh, Pastor, it makes your heart sing to know that we are children of the King,
yes.
and that we are God's children. I mean, that says, that right there in itself is a 2-hour show in itself, to be called one of God's kids.
Oh,
it's,
amen.
It's awesome.
It is. I mean, I talked about that this morning at Beacon, about the importance of understanding, like John is saying here in chapter 3, verse 1, what marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. And then it goes on to say in the Message Bible, that's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. People that don't have Jesus in their heart and understand that he can become their Savior, their Lord, their Deliverer, their Healer, all of those things, it's like it's Greek to them. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense to some people. Talk to me about this, Megan. The world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, is what it says right here in the Message Bible.
Well, you know, and if people don't understand something, they're going to form their own judgment against you.
Right.
But sometimes if you look at it myself, if you don't understand something and you don't want to badmouth that person, maybe you ought to find out what it's about before you judge people.
Right.
And do a little research, you know, find out what God's all about. I mean, it's not complicated. And that's the thing, is we've got to get to a point where when we see a Christian that walks in faith and walks in love and walks in righteousness, don't judge them. If you don't know what they're about, ask them and let them tell you, and then maybe you'll change your point of view.
Absolutely. And it is so easy to look at other people and judge their walk with the Lord. But, you know, you're right about that. We need to really be careful and allow God to show us people's hearts and so forth. And some people don't have a heart after God. They really don't. They've never come to a point in their life where they saw a need, where they felt that they needed God. Connie always talks about that. That place, that God-shaped place in our heart where the only thing that can fill it is a relationship with Almighty God. And a lot of people are running from that, Betty. Talk to me about that, because they don't understand how simple it is to just become a child of the living God.
Well, you know, His love is everlasting.
Amen.
And I think a lot of people don't want to make a commitment like that in this day and age. Of course, I'm sure that maybe people even back, you know, before me, which is, you know, before dirt.
Yeah, there you go, way back there.
Way back, that they don't understand. They don't understand the true meaning of what it is to be a child of God.
Right.
And a lot of it's fear. But I still think it's a commitment issue, because I mean, people to get today just don't make commitments to anything,
right?
Because they know that, you know, what am I going to get out of it?
Right.
What's in it for me? It's a me generation thing.
Yeah.
That
absolutely.
If they knew the God that I know, I think they might change their mind.
Well, because He is love. God is love, and when we make that step and make a commitment to Almighty God and say, come into my heart, Jesus, we are accepting the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, to come in and live in us, and His nature is love. You know, God is love. And it's just, a lot of people struggle with that, and I realize that, but John is really getting to the nitty-gritty here, and as he starts the third chapter, he's saying, wait a minute, we got to keep in mind where we're going to end up. Do you want to end up in heaven with Jesus for all eternity? Are you ready to make that commitment? And what do you want to do about the old sinful ways that we've been living? In verse 4 of 1 John chapter 3, John says this in the Message Bible, all who indulge in a sinful life are dangerously lawless, for sin is a major disruption of God's order. Surely you know that Christ showed up in order to get rid of sin. There is no sin in Him, and the sin is not a part of His program. And no one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. I want to stop right there for a minute. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. We all, as human beings, struggle with areas in our lives, and it's easy to get into areas of sin. Worry and fear and doubt and anger and all of that's sin. When we, in fact, the scripture says anything apart from faith is sin. So when John's talking here about the relationship that we need to have with Jesus, he says we're not going to be able to live deeply in Jesus if we're living a life caught up in sin. And I'm going to offer a couple definitions of sin, and then I'm going to ask you two, Betty and Megan, to comment on these. One that I've heard for a long time is sin is missing the mark, okay? Now, some people might say, well, what's the mark? Well, the mark is to look and act like Jesus, to become like Him in our attitudes, in our behavior, in our communication verbally, to respond the way Jesus would respond. That old bracelet that a lot of people had years ago, and I think we sold them in my bookstore, WWJD, what would Jesus do, really applies here. You know, it really does. And the whole thing is, what does sin, and what is it? It's missing the mark. Another definition I wrote on the board at Beacon today that I really like is, sin is a selfish decision that hurts God. So take it, Megan, and we'll come back to Betty.
Oh, my. Well, you know, as a child of God, you're to obey your father.
Right.
And you can look at it as a child has earthly parents.
Right.
And as a child growing up, you don't want to disappoint your parents on earth because
right.
you'll lose trust. They'll correct you, and then, you know, you try not to do it again. Well, we have to look at that with our Heavenly Father.
Right.
Because when we sin, it's direct disobedience to our Heavenly Father. And I look at it this way. When you sin as a Christian, you are, when you do it, you are rejecting the ways of your Heavenly Father.
Right.
You are... You're just, that's one of the, you know, it's a huge thing is when you sin, like you said, it's a selfish decision.
Right.
Because
right.
Who is going to get the glory for your sin? It's not going to be your Heavenly Father.
Right.
And you're not going to get any glory out of it either. When you, after you commit it, you're going to get conviction, Holy Spirit conviction, and you're just going to be so sick at yourself that you can't believe that you did it. And
right.
I mean, that's part of being a child of God, is if you're walking in the way that you're supposed to walk and you commit a sin, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you until you fall to your knees and ask for forgiveness. Because until you do that, you are going to be walking in a world of mess. You're just going to be, everything's going to be out of alignment. You're going to need, it's like you're going to need a chiropractic adjustment when you do that. I mean, it's just absolutely pure selfishness.
It is. And, but you know what, Megan, I think a lot of people equate the word sin with big things like murder,
sure.
adultery, etc. So now if we define this as a selfish decision that hurts God, Betty, take that. And run with that, because it's not just murder, adultery, etc.
In looking back over the years, working with children, is you look at it from an infant standpoint.
Okay.
It's like being in a vat of mud, and the vat of mud contains lying,
okay.
stealing. I mean, just little things that children do
right.
that when we grow up to be adults can become pretty hefty.
Right.
But when you give your life to the Lord, all that mud goes away.
Amen.
There's nooks and crannies still that maybe need to be cleaned out. Like,
right.
And I know this sounds so childish, but it's like under your arms. In between your toes, there's little things that can
yeah.
hide in there.
Right.
That God's love, and when you give your life to Him, that He takes all those nooks and crannies and He cleans them out. He washes them away. So that's where the living water plays a valid point.
Amen.
In becoming a child of God, is that when you give your life to the Lord, you are washed clean. And He forgives all of those little, I mean, the little itty-bitty tiny things, all the way up to what you were talking about, if we commit, you know, Lord forbid, you know, murder, you know, all of those things. Selfishness is one of them. Condemnation, it's just judging people. It's
right.
those things that if you ask for forgiveness, you will be forgiven.
And 1 John 1:9, which is right here in this book, this precious book, says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which is this wonderful promise that we don't have to walk through our days worried that we are going to be, you know, thrown into the lake of fire in hell because we have committed this sin or that sin. It's an ongoing daily process. The Holy Spirit works on the inside of us to show us those areas that we need to confess a sin, or maybe attitudes that we need to get rid of, repent of, and say, okay, God, I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to quit acting like that or thinking like that. I want to rearrange my thought processes so that they can be in line with what You would do and say. Megan, talk to me about that, because I think a lot of people think it's one time when you get saved, you ask God to forgive all your sins, that's it, that you don't have to ever deal with sin again, and that's not true.
No, absolutely not true, because as human beings, we are imperfect. We are not
yes.
a perfect being, and when you become a Christian, you know, you're supposed to walk in righteousness and love. Well, righteousness is defined as adhering to moral principles,
okay.
Which means when, say, you are talking with a friend and they maybe say something and you just fly off the handle and get angry.
Right.
Well, we're not supposed to talk to each other in anger.
Right.
So that's a sin.
Right.
And, you know, if you choose to, you know, talk down to your child or disobey or disrespect your parents, you're sinning, because that is not walking in righteousness. You are offending other people, and that's, Jesus does not treat people that way. He does not, you know, everything he does is out of love.
Right.
So we should be doing the same thing. We shouldn't be judging people. We shouldn't be angry with people. And if we are, that's when we need to check ourselves and say, Lord, please help me with this. I am sinning in your eyes.
Right.
Please help me to clean this junk out, like Mom said, between your toes.
Right.
And get back on the path you're supposed to be on.
Well, I think you made a huge point. So many times we get caught up in the events of the moment, and we let our anger just go crazy, or we let our hostility, or it may turn into hatred, bitterness, resentment, whatever. And so often we don't stop and think, whoa, wait a minute. You know, that's not acting like or looking like Jesus. And when he comes back, we're going to be changed into his likeness. But in the meantime, this is a journey of becoming like him, looking like him, acting like him. Sin is a selfish decision that hurts God, something that gratifies us for the moment, say anger, and we just lose it when somebody cuts us off in traffic, let's say, or we just get so mad when we feel that somebody has talked about us, or whatever the case may be. But if we hold resentment and bitterness, we got to remember Jesus said the golden rule is do unto others the way you would have them do unto you.
Mm. Amen.
Talk to me, Betty.
Well, I think it's just like if you go to, I'll use another one of my crazy illustrations.
Go ahead with your crazy illustrations.
One of the things that I've caught myself doing is becoming angry. Now, I know this sounds so stupid. Becoming angry at Walmart.
Oh, at Walmart the company, or...
Yeah, at Walmart, the store.
Okay.
And it's...
All righty then. Some of our listening audience are going, yeah, me too, you know?
Because, you know, people don't have respect for other people.
Yeah.
And they are rude. I mean, there are some of our more wise patrons that go to Walmart. You know, they can't walk as fast, or they may have a disability that keeps them from moving, you know, at
okay.
a regular pace.
Sure.
And people are so disrespectful.
Right.
But I also catch myself becoming like them.
Uh-huh.
And
it's easy to fall into that.
It is easy to fall into. And
like, especially if you're in a hurry, great big old hurry. Like, that way I live my life in a hurry.
Yeah, you're always on the go.
Oh,
you're always in traffic.
Yeah.
And shopping is not one of your favorite things to do.
No.
And so it boils down to is that when we give our life to the Lord, he forgives our sins.
Amen.
And no matter how small they are, no matter how big they are,
right.
His love, and I'll say it again, is everlasting.
Amen.
And when they were talking about in 1 John about being in on the ground floor, is that when you've been a Christian for quite a long time, it can still happen to us no matter how long we've been a Christian.
Right.
Whether we're a babe in Christ or we are a mature adult, we still sin, and we sin on a daily basis. But that's what is so great about being a child of God, is being able to say, Lord, please forgive me. And it's that simple. It doesn't take...
It is.
It
yes.
doesn't take a two-hour prayer.
No.
It doesn't take going out and, you know...
Penance of some kind.
Some kind of penance or whatever. It doesn't have to be that way. And we're not going to get struck down if you walk outside and trip, you know, hit your foot on a stone or trip. He's that our Heavenly Father. He's that gracious to say, okay, Betty, I forgive you.
Absolutely, he is. I'm going to direct us back to chapter 2, verse 28. And in the Message Bible, it fits right here with what you're talking about. And now, children, stay with Christ. I love that in the Message Bible. Stay with Christ. In other words, don't get sidetracked off there doing your own thing, getting so involved in, sometimes people get so involved in other people's lives because that's where they feed, maybe it feeds their need for importance and they've got to be, you know, got to know everything. Have you ever had a relative that had to know every single thing ever going on in your life? I've known people like this. For sure. But it says here, children, stay with Christ. Live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives. Once you're convinced that he is right and righteous, you'll recognize that all who practice righteousness are God's true children. Very interesting here. Some people have to be convinced that God's way is the right way. Sometimes we have to really come to a point in our lives, and maybe it's now, today, for some of us, where we realize that we've been living rather shallow Christian lives. You know what it's like at the beach, my favorite place, where I was yesterday at my causeway, and with my kids, it was great with my son and Mark and Candy. You know, you stand and you put your tippy toes, you know, in the edge of the water there, and it's just the perfect temperature this time of year. And it's real shallow. You can see the bottom, you can see the sand, everything, you know. But yet a few weeks ago on Memorial Day, we had a picnic right in that very same area, and we did some baptizing. And in order to baptize, we could not do that right there in that shallow water that was just covering our tippy toes, you know? We had to go out. We had to walk out. Pastor Jim and I, several of us, walked out to baptize, got into the deeper water to actually immerse that person and declare over them that they were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so often, that's a good metaphor, I think, that God just gave me. For how often some Christians want to stay right there in that shallow water where it's only touching their tippy toes and they don't want to go out and be totally immersed. Megan, talk to me about that, and then I'll come back to your mama.
Well, that was an amazing way to put it, because you can also look at it this way. If you want to be a Christian, you got to go all the way in the water.
Yeah, you do.
You can't be standing up on the edge of the beach with, well, I think I want to put my foot in, but there might be a shark out there.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I'm scared of seaweed and whatever. No. If you want to be a Christian,
right,
you got to put your boot, I mean, you got to put your waders on, and you got to go out in the water.
You got to put your waders on. Yeah.
There's no walking on the beach here. It's either you're in or you're out.
Right.
That's just the way it works.
Absolutely. You know, funny story along that line, and then Betty, I'll get to you. A few years back, we had some new people that came to church, and a couple of them really wanted to be baptized in January, you know, and I was like, really? In January? Because even though it's Florida, the water can be kind of cool in January. Well, that particular day was very important that they get baptized then. We went out to Honeymoon Island, which is just gorgeous, and there's a bunch of people on the shore watching these people get baptized. Well, I had been teasing them about it, that it was too cold. So one of the guys being baptized brought me a set of waders, you know, those hip waders that all the way up, you know, those rubber things. And so, you know, they were taking pictures and laughing. And as I put those on, because I was going out to baptize these people and I knew that I would get cold and whatever. And so I did that and I went out there, but a big wave came along and knocked me down before I got them baptized. And as I am laying in that water trying to get up, I realize how icy cold it is, and I realize that my waders are filling up with ice cold water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up baptizing the rest of them with freezing water. Whatever. But, you know, your point there, Megan, is right about the waders. We've got to, if we're going to go out there in that deep water, it's the waders become a an avenue for us to get out there in that deeper water. We've got to say, okay, I'm going. I don't care how cold it is or whatever. I'm going, and I'm getting deeper in my spiritual walk with God. Betty talked to me about this, and that was kind of a funny scene, I got to admit.
Yeah, I could imagine that, because trying to go out in a kayak in the ocean is just about as silly as going out in waders.
I love my kayak, but
I know
go
you
ahead.
Do.
Go
you
ahead.
You don't get me out in no kayak in no ocean.
All righty, then.
All right. Hey, the one thing that you have to remember is that when you take that walk out into that water, you're
right.
going by faith.
Right.
Because if you were in a pool, you could see the bottom.
Right.
Okay? And you can see where your footsteps are going. But in the ocean or even in your Christian walk, that sometimes you can't see where you're going and you're going to have to walk by faith.
Woo!
And you're going to have to trust the Lord with all of your heart, soul, mind, and being, that he is not going to let you drown in that water. He is not going to let you sit there and become totally freezing in that water, because it showed your obedience to want to baptize someone in freezing cold water. And I still think he looks at that as a step of faith for you and a step of faith for those people, that they were willing to go through that cold water just to be able to have them cleansed and washed, you know, have their sins washed away Ooh. Forever. And it's just, it's amazing to me how people can be so negative when it comes to people that want to go that step further in their lives, because people listen to other people when we actually should be listening to the Lord's voice and not theirs.
Oh, amen. It takes courage. And you didn't know that the song I'm going to play next is, and then Megan, I'll get your comments on the other side of it, Courageous by Casting Crowns.
Mm. We were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. On the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us. Yeah.
Love that song. Love that song. I play that in my truck a lot. We are made to be courageous. Talk to me, Megan. How does that fit into this that we're talking about here, living deeply in Christ?
Well, you know what? When we live deeply in Christ, we are entitled to be courageous and confident.
Amen.
And I had told you earlier in the week that I was listening to a radio broadcast from back in May.
Uh-huh. And one of our shows?
Yes, one of your shows. And it was when you and Carol and Nan were on, and you made the comment that as Christians, we have a God-given right to live a life of courage, confidence, and a life free of condemnation.
Right, right.
And I'll tell you what, that hit me that day like a hammer, because it's just amazing. And I'll tell you what, that song, you know, that when it says that we should finally be the generation to finally make a change.
Yes. Amen.
That is so
Woo!
True.
Yes.
And I'm going to call out right now to the people of my generation, the people that are under 30 years of age, the people that I see walking around just in a ho-hum drum life. It is our right that we should make a change in this world for the people that are to follow us.
Amen.
And we should make a change to take care of our parents and our grandparents right now the way that Jesus loves us.
Amen.
And we can't mess around anymore, Pastor. We're in the final days here, and we have to stop judging and condemning each other.
Amen.
And start loving each other, no matter the differences that we carry as humans and individuals.
Woo!
Oh. I can go on and on.
Oh, just a minute. Wait a minute. That's a bell ringer right there, that little sermonette. All right, Megan Kramer. Betty Mama, Mama Betty, talk to us. I mean, she's right on here. And that song, doesn't it just get to you that it's time to stand up and be courageous and be confident for what God's called us? We're his children. Let's be courageous and act like we're his children.
Well, and that is so true, Pastor, because we get this, I'm going to say, a spirit of timidity is
right.
Just the opposite
yes.
of being courageous.
Right.
And we're just so afraid that we're just going to offend
right.
you know, sister so-and-so if
yes.
we do this and that. But you know what? That was talking about in 1 John chapter 3
yes.
is Don't let the enemy talk you out of being you.
That's right. Amen.
And that's what happens so many times, is that we're so afraid that we're going to offend someone by what we said or by what we do.
You're right.
But that's where the courage in us becomes courageousness for Christ.
Right.
Is that we go out and we preach the word. We bring people into the fold so that they can see and live a more prosperous and wonderful life than what Megan was talking about, is living in fear, living in condemnation, letting the enemy just walk all over him. And that's what, you know, that'll get me fired up here in just a minute. But you can't, don't worry about what other people think.
Amen.
Amen.
If you love the Lord and you love the Lord with all your heart, let your light shine, my sister and my brothers
Amen.
Out there.
Amen. And
do
you,
not be afraid.
Amen. And 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you're full of fear about what other people think about you, and you don't want to acknowledge that you're a child of God, you got to get over that. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Instead of fear, we've been given power, love, and a sound mind. That verse will preach all day. I tell you what, it will, because we have got to, I mean, John reminds us what marvelous love, this is 3:1, God has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God, and that's who we really are. And we have got to start acting like at Radio Land. We have got to start acting like we are the called and chosen of God, no matter what denomination. Today at the nursing home, Betty and Megan, some little lady, she was just singing, and Nathan and I lead the old songs that they know from Sunday school, and Jesus loves me, and how great thou art, and this little light of mine, and all kinds of things. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and it's old stuff that they know. And And at the very end, this little lady called me over, and I bent down to hear what she had to say. And she said, my husband was in the military. We moved around for years. I've lived a lot of places. She said, and really, I guess I was a Catholic. And she started to say, and what do you think? And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. It doesn't matter what church you go to. Do you love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. That's what matters. That's it. We are children of God. It doesn't matter the denomination we've grown up in or went to at some point. Are we children of God? And if so, do we realize how much he loves us, no matter what our background or where we've been? Talk to me, Megan.
Well, you know, Pastor, our Heavenly Father created us.
Amen.
And I truly believe that when he creates us, he puts a little seed in our heart. Like Connie was talking about, there's that special place in your heart.
Yes.
That's always there.
Right.
So no matter whether you're saved or not,
right,
you know, it's in there. And the thing of it is, God doesn't need us. He wants us.
Oh, amen.
Because we're our children. We're his children, excuse me. So, you know, even if you're a Catholic or if you're Jewish, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
You're a child of God.
Right.
And we shouldn't be judging each other's religions, because
right.
I know that goes on. It goes on a whole
everywhere.
Lot.
Yeah.
And that's a sin, people. When
right.
you judge someone else because they're not of the religion that you are, that's a sin. They believe in the same God, but maybe they just worship him a little bit different than you do. You know, maybe they don't, you know, dance and fly off the pews like some of us people get a little wild when we, you know, get fired up about the Lord. But
really, Megan? Really?
Yeah, you know, the chandelier swingers or
holy
whatever,
rollers,
but,
holy rollers.
Right. Hey, that's just because we're joyful and we're not afraid to show it.
Right.
And that's just who we are. So, you know, here, you know, we've got the elderly lady that told you that, you know, I was Catholic, and she was curious at how you felt about that. You have no feeling of that.
No.
You're not going to judge her for
heavens,
how
no.
she grew up being a Christian. That's just the,
I
know,
just
that's
said,
just the way we're supposed to be.
Well, we were singing, the parting song we use every week now is, we love you with the love of the Lord, you know. Oh, we
Amen.
Love you with the love of the Lord. And she was, I think, wanting to know if we did love her, because she was not coming from a congregation maybe like ours. But good point, Megan, good point. It's children of God. And there's no place in these verses that says you have to go to this particular church or denomination. It's about the word of God. Betty talked to me about that. It says the marvelous love the Father has for us. Oh, I love that. I mean, he is just, how did Billy Crystal used to say it? Marvelous, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just marvelous. Just,
marvelous
you just,
love.
You look, and I want to say, Pastor, you do look marvelous.
What are you watching on the thing?
I'm keeping my eye on you.
I'm wearing green today.
Yeah. It's not St. Patrick's Day, is it?
I don't know. No, it's not.
I tell you what.
No.
I wear Jesus across my chest.
There you go.
I wear it on my back.
Yeah.
And I wear my Beacon of Hope shirt wherever I go. I am not afraid of the gospel of Jesus
Christ. Amen. You sound like Paul.
I am not going to be thrown out to the wolves anymore. And
right.
the one who, you know, the devil's been, he's been sinning from the beginning, and
right.
that's where he wants to keep us.
Right.
And we can't afford to stay there any longer. Because
no.
if you look at the things going on around the world that... You know, there's pestilence, there's devastation, there's wars.
There's so much going on. Famine and fires and earthquakes.
It's just people.
Horrible.
We got to get our ears and eyes on. And
absolutely.
We got to take the blinders off. We got to
right.
get the wax out of our ears. And we've
right.
got to hear what Christ is saying to the people or to
Amen.
His church, which,
yes.
is the, it, which is us, the kingdom of God. And he wants to see that multiplied with people.
Yes.
Because in his house there are many mansions, and I believe that there are more people that, you know, people need that song, you know, that I just love, People Need the Lord.
Oh, we're going to have that on this show. Did you know that?
No,
you
I
didn't
did
know
not.
That.
Oh,
yes.
Lord, here we
it's
go.
Coming up here after a while.
That's just awesome. Well, they do. People who need the Lord,
right.
All you have to do is call out his name, and he's right there for you.
Amen. And when we begin to get it down on the inside of us that this love that God has for us, God the Father, it is so marvelous that he sent his son. What is it? John 3:16. I probably quote that verse almost every radio show because it fits all the time.
Yep.
For God so, and these are the words of Jesus, by the way. John 3:16, you go to your Bible. If you have red letter edition, it's going to be in red. Jesus said these words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next verse, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it's time the condemning others stop, and that we recognize that God is a God of love. And I tell you, some people think God is just a God of anger and vengeance and judgment, and that's not true. Even clear back in the Old Testament, God is a God of love. And Jesus said God so loved the world. Megan, talk to us about this. Whoa.
God so loved the world that he gave his only son.
Yes.
And, I mean, if you sit and think about it, would you die for somebody? I mean, that's a pretty serious thing, people.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, when he did that, when Jesus died on the cross, on the cross.
Yes.
He died to relinquish us of our sins.
Yes.
So that means that the consequences from our sins are removed.
Right.
And the guilt that we feel from those sins is removed.
Right.
And we are taken from darkness to light.
Right.
So if you are walking in sin and you feel like you're down in a sticky puddle of quicksand, ask the Lord to forgive you. Take the Lord and give your life to the Lord.
Right.
And be pulled from the quicksand.
Absolutely.
That's what he wants to do. He wants to give you a life free of condemnation. He wants you to be courageous because that's the way that Jesus lived. I mean, it's the way that he lives in perfection, is that he is just the perfect human being. And God does not want his children walking in quicksand. He wants us walking out and walking in the light. He doesn't want us in the darkness.
Woo! Amen. And we're going to talk more about this, the sinful nature that we all have and what we can do about it here in this next hour and what Jesus did about it. And so stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend. Invite them to join in. We've still got another hour of a wonderful time here with great music and with Betty and Megan from Indiana. And what a great time it is to be able to share every Sunday afternoon with you. I said at the top of the show, we have a bunch, maybe hundreds, I don't know, of our old shows on our website. There's so many, I can't begin to tell you because we're in our seventh year here on the air. So there's plenty for you to listen to and you can learn the word. And there usually we have a topic on there so you can have an idea what that show's about. So go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. If you have a prayer need, send those prayer requests in. And as soon as we do station ID, Betty, I'm going to ask you to talk about the prayer team here real quickly before we get to that next song in the second hour. So you can write down this address. It's an email address, and all prayer requests can go there. Prayers@BOHM, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, BOHMGlobal.com, prayers@BOHMGlobal.com. And also, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to our services. And we are currently at 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater. I say currently because we are just temporarily meeting in the Ramada Inn there, a very nice room that they have for us right on the front of the building to the right. So we welcome you Sunday mornings, 10:30, Wednesday night. Prayer meeting starts at 6:15, and Bible study is at 7. Bible study is interactive, and it's a great way to get involved and learn the Word of God. We welcome you to our services, Sunday, 10:30, Wednesday at 7 for Bible study. Station ID, here we go, and we'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. So here we are, Beacon of Hope Ministries. Today, again, as every Sunday, 3 to 5, Tampa time, with our show, Living the Good Life, in our seventh year. And we're so glad that you've joined us. Betty, would you talk about the prayer ministry a moment and let them know how important that is? We've been getting prayer requests from people's names we don't recognize, and that's fine. That is just fine. We want anybody. You don't have to know us or come to Beacon of Hope to use this prayer line. Talk to us, Betty.
Well, I tell you, there is no better way to reach the throne of God than through prayer.
Amen.
And the prayer requests that we have gotten over these last few days, there's also behind them praise reports.
Amen, there are.
And I'm telling you, if you need a miracle,
yes,
send the prayer request in to prayers at bohmglobal.com. And there's always someone, whether it be, you know, Pete, Pastor Jim, or Carol, yourself. There's so many people that are so blessed to be able to have that gift, to be able to put a prayer behind a request.
Well, you're part of that too, Betty, because you've picked up slack many times.
I have maybe once or twice, but I tell you what, these people are just so, so blessed, and we're blessed to have that kind of prayer ministry associated with it, because prayer changes things.
Amen, it does.
And I am just so glad to be a part of it and glad to be able to pray, but it's also neat that they also have a prayer attached to that request, that you don't have to say a three-hour prayer. It's just usually just a few lines, or, you know, just giving God the praise and glory for the things that he's doing. And it's miracles. It's miracles, people, I'm telling you.
All the time.
People healed of tumors. People healed of cancer. People,
yes,
being healed. I mean, pain. People that are just in pain from just fibromyalgia or whatever, people are being healed.
Yes, they are.
Through the power of prayer. And I praise God for his mercy, his grace, and his glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And my own personal family, my son Mark, that just got married to Candy, they were kind of stuck in France on Tuesday trying to get back from being over there for 6 or 7 weeks where he was teaching. And all kinds of things started to go wrong with the planes and with flights canceled. But I tell you, Betty, they got home safely on Wednesday and God just took over, but it took prayer. I mean, we sent out the request, people, we need some prayer support here. And it always works. I mean, it's not just once in a while. Prayer works. It's amazing.
Oh, amen. And you know, it just, every time we get a prayer request, I remember back when I was in high school, and we actually had more than just one classroom, is that it was like a ticker tape. You can hear it going, dee 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 dee. And that's what it is to me, is that as soon as they're typing,
right,
God's reading that, and he understands it. And then when his people confirm that,
right,
and back it up with the word of God, that's when it becomes where two or three are gathered in,
amen,
his name. There he is in the midst of them. We don't even have, I mean, we're very spread out, but still God hears those prayers.
Oh, amen. And you can be a part of that prayer team by just writing to that same email address, prayers@bohmglobal.com, and ask to be put on the team. And you don't have, or .com. You don't have to come to Beacon of Hope to be a part of the prayer team. A lot of people are on there that are not, that have never even set foot in our services in Clearwater. That's fine. No problem at all. prayers@bohmglobal.com. We welcome you to join the prayer team. Megan, you're going to love this song. It's one of my favorites. And you know, you and your mom and I we are so crazy about Casting Crowns, just like Connie is. And this song is Love Them Like Jesus. Do you have anything you want to say about that, Megan, before we play this? I love this song.
Why, sure. You know, being out shopping, as I regularly do.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You know me. Complete opposite of you.
That's right.
is you run into people that are older, and like Mom said, they maybe don't move as fast as we do.
Right.
Well, you know what? If you stop and slow down and and let them take their time. I was like, my son and I were in Kroger, and we were behind a gentleman that he appeared, bless his heart, that had a stroke, and he just wasn't moving as fast, and he knew that people were in a hurry trying to get around him. And Andrew and I, we backed off, and he apologized to us that he wasn't moving as fast as he should have. And I looked him right in the eye, and I said, no, I said, absolutely not at all. I said, we don't move fast either. We are slow. We don't hurry people. And he said, well, I really appreciate that.
Aww.
And he said, bless you. And he said, you have an awesome little helper right there.
Aww.
So love them like Jesus, people, means everybody.
That's
so,
right.
Elderly, children, your sisters, your brothers in Christ, it doesn't matter. Love everybody like Jesus.
Amen. Here we go.
The love of her life is drifting away. They're losing the fight for another day. The life that she's known is falling apart. A fatherless home, a child's broken heart. You're holding her hand, you're straining for words, you're trying to sense of it all. She's desperate for hope, darkness clouding her view. She's looking to you. Just love her like Jesus, carry her to him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that he loves her. Stay by her side. Love her like Jesus. Love her like Jesus. The gifts lie in wait in a room painted blue. A little blessing from
Great song. Love them like Jesus. We're in 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 14. We're going to skip around a little bit in this chapter. Verse 14, the way we know we've been transferred from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know very well that eternal life and murder don't go together. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. Betty, talk to me.
Well,
You know, it's a hard one to understand, Pastor, because that song always gets to me. But
yes,
you know, God's love is shown through our hearts
right.
by the Holy Spirit. And I see people, I live in an area where there are people who live in their cars, who live in houses that no one should inhabit. And even giving these people, that people laugh at them and talk to other people about them, you know, why would they live in a house like that? Well, that's all they have. And for us to be able to do that to our brothers and sisters is, I think it makes Jesus sad.
It does, yeah.
That we treat each other that way, and God looks at our heart. And if you look at people that way, you need to re-examine yourself and make your heart have more happiness. I know it sounds more childlike than anything, but you need happiness, joy, and love in your heart, because that's where Jesus lives, is in your heart.
Amen. And you said something a minute ago that just reminded me of Romans 5:5, also one of my favorite verses, and it says this: hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. And so we have God's love in us. We have to learn to walk in it, and we have to learn to come into agreement with loving people that may be unlovely or difficult to love. Or may, you know, it may be just inconvenient today to reach out a helping hand or to pray for somebody who needs prayer. You know, I got other things to do. Maybe it's just busyness, life's crazy pace that so many of us keep. You know, sometimes we neglect seeing those little opportunities right in front of us that God's putting there to see. And sometimes I think they're tests to see how we are going to react. Are we going to react to that situation, that person, that inconvenience with the love of God? And are we going to live deeply in God's love? We've been told here in Romans 5:5, God has already poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You know, we've got it in there. Are we going to use it? Megan, talk to me about that. I think so many times we just don't choose to use the love that's already in our hearts.
Exactly. The love that's born in your heart.
Amen.
When you come into this world.
Yes.
And,
well, when you,
know, you
when
think,
you give your heart to Jesus.
Exactly.
When you give your heart to Jesus, that love that the Holy Spirit puts in you is just so there if we recognize it. Go ahead.
Exactly. If we let it overflow, unless we squelch it by pouring, you know, water on it and ignoring it.
Right.
And it's like you said, I think people are given tests
yeah.
to see how they're going to react. And
right.
it's like, I mean, it can be anything from, you know, like somebody cuts you off in traffic or whatever. It's like, how do you choose to conduct yourself?
Right.
I mean, are you going to conduct yourself as a hateful, judgmental person, or are you going to conduct yourself as a child of God? And what I mean by that is showing forgiveness and love to everyone that walks on this earth. And they are your sister and your brother, no matter whether you know them or not. Because
right.
we all have a place in heaven, so
right.
just because, you know, whoever lives in a house that is less than stellar than yours doesn't mean that they don't have a place in heaven.
Amen.
So,
amen. Amen. And you're taking that back to that judgment and criticism that Jesus says in the beginning of chapter 7 of Matthew. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. You know? Whoa.
Amen.
Betty, talk to me about this, because I think so often we really have opportunities thrown right in front of us by God. You know, we see people, situations where we could make a difference, and we don't do it. I mean, I think this is a challenge to each of us. Talk to me about this.
I think that the world is fearful to get involved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
In
I agree with
because
that.
Because of the way that the world
right.
has become.
Right. I agree.
One of the neatest things that I remember my mom telling me I was in high school, and she thinks that she was given an opportunity to show a Christ-like behavior. A man came to her door and knocked on the door and asked her if he could have a drink of water. And instead of making him drink out of a hose, she said, "Well, yes, sir, just hold on a minute and let me go get you a glass of water."
Oh, wow.
And she gave him a glass of water. She said, "Do you want anything to eat?" He says, "No, I just need water." And he went out and sat out under a tree. And she said she went about, you know, taking care of whatever she was doing, came back, and the man was gone.
Wow.
And she thinks God rest her soul, she told me she thinks that was a test
for
her,
yes,
for the Lord.
Yes.
Is that, you know, is someone thirsty, would you give them something to drink?
Amen.
If they're hungry, would you give them something to eat?
Right.
And I think that because of the way the world has become, that we're afraid to help anyone.
I agree.
There would be repercussions from it. They might do us or whatever. But there's still that empathy within me, myself, is to help people. And we were in a situation many months ago at a store down in Harrison, Ohio, that a woman was in dismay because her husband was physically abusing her. And you would not believe the people that wanted to help her. So in that turn, there's people who want to be, good Samaritans and coming to the aid of a woman where a man is accosting her.
Right.
And they called the police and everybody's going, praise God. I mean, it was amazing the turn of events that have how people don't want to help. But then there are people who, if we all stand together, will help someone in need.
Absolutely.
It was really amazing. I mean,
that's
it was scary
cool.
at the time, but people were praising God that there were that many people willing to help that woman.
Exactly. Well, when you think about the fact that we are God's children, all of us, we may not look alike, and most of us don't look like other people. I mean, the differences are amazing, and I think God is so cool that there are so many differences, size and shape and color and you name it. We're such a mixed bag, you know, across this globe. And it's almost kind of funny that God's done it that way so that we, you know, he tests hearts with this, I think, a lot of times. Because this person is different than me or thinks differently than me, should I treat him terrible because the color of his skin or his sexual orientation or whatever? The hate that has been pouring out in the last couple of weeks since the Supreme Court decision about DOMA and all that, you know, it's been crazy. The ranting that's going on in some pulpits, it's really very disgusting because, you know, God loves us all. He does not distinguish in the word between us. He says, "What marvelous love the Father has extended to us." We're called children of God. And that's who we are. And he doesn't say, unless your skin is black or unless, you know, your skin is purple or you got stripes or you're gay or, you know, whatever the case may be, or you have a bad past. I mean, God loves us the way we are. Megan, talk to me about this.
Well, and he does. And he all made us individual for a reason. We all have different things that we're good at.
Right.
And that's the cool thing, because when Jesus comes back, he is going to, yes, make us pure, and we're going to be like him, but we're
Amen.
Not going to be exactly like him, because we're all going to have special gifts that we give to the kingdom of God.
Right.
And that's the cool thing, is we should all embrace our own individuality.
Yes.
Instead
yes.
of judging other people's individuality. And that's the thing, because what makes us different is what makes everybody beautiful.
Oh,
because
yes. Amen.
Everybody has something that's different. Like you said, I'm glad that we all don't look alike.
Right.
And I think it's awesome that God can make so many people so different.
Oh, I know.
And that's the thing is, you know, I've worked a lot of places and I've worked with a lot of different people. And I always got condemned because I liked everyone. I never, you know, chose to judge those people that were a little bit different that we worked with. And, you know, that was hard to deal with because, you know, dealing with condemnation at work and,
right.
and it's just horrible. But
right.
you know what, people? I am proud of myself that I
right.
didn't judge those people then because I was loving everyone the way that we're supposed to love each other.
Oh, amen. Amen. You know, and the differences, I've always said that it's amazing that my three children came from the same two parents and look so completely different, all three of them. And it's not just that they look different. They are different, you know. They
right.
have different talents, different abilities, different interests, and all of that. And that is just so cool, you know, the way God loves us. We've got to start embracing, I believe, other people's differences. Embrace them and realize that God loves them. And who am I to not extend a hand of love and mercy? And this, and I'm telling you right now, this hate stuff that is preached across this nation has got to stop. People have got to realize that God is love. He is not a God of hatred and judgment. Mm-hmm. Betty, talk to me.
Well, and the thing, the scripture, and I may not be quoting this word for word, but if you be without sin, let him
right.
cast the first stone.
Right, that's from John 8, that story of the adulteress, yes.
And you can't, how can you judge someone if you don't know them?
Right.
And just because they might be a little bit different, that makes them unique.
Right.
Because the Lord says that we are a peculiar people, and he made us all different for a reason, and the reason is the gifts that he gives us, the different things that we can accomplish here on earth for his kingdom
right.
is amazing to me that people can't embrace change.
Well, it's frustrating, isn't it?
But very, very frustrating.
It really is. God looks at our hearts. It does not say anywhere that God looks at the color of our skin. Okay, nowhere in the Word does it say this. And, you know, years ago, a few years back, when you and I were younger, that was a big deal. Civil rights and all that was going on, you know, and people tried to use the Bible as their, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, inferior. The blacks, et cetera, were inferior. African-Americans, ridiculous arguments that came out from so many people who didn't really know what the Word says. The Word says that God is love. And he is a marvelous father that loves us so much that we are all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have got to extend the same love that God extends to us. And I'm going to come back to both of you for comments on that in a minute. Listen to this song, Here I Am by Mercy Me.
The side of the world, she stands on the ocean shore, gazing at the heaven. She wonders, is there something more? Never been told the name of Jesus. She turns and walks away. What a shame. Hometown, leaving from his 9 to 5, gazing down the road, he wonders, is this all there is to life? Never been told the name of Jesus. He continues on his way.
Here I am.
Wow. Here Am I, Send Me. I know that song, but I just love it. Isn't that great, guys?
Awesome. Beautiful.
Oh, Betty, talk to me about this. Who am I? This is words from Isaiah where God says to Isaiah, who is going to go for me? You know, who shall I send? And then Isaiah says, here am I. I'll go. You know, amazing from Isaiah chapter 1. But go ahead, Betty, talk to us because this just all comes together so beautifully, doesn't it?
Oh, amen. And you know, when the Lord does something, he just doesn't do it halfway.
Right.
You know, he sees it through to completion.
Right.
And, you know, God will always provide.
Right.
He will take your situation and turn it around.
Right.
For good and for his glory.
Right.
And there's so many times where, you know, we're maybe kneeling at an altar, and when you make that commitment, Lord, send me. Lord, I am willing to be whatever you want me to be.
Wow.
You better be willing to be ready because he will send you, and he will do it with the love that he is so accustomed to giving. He gives it so freely.
Yes.
And so willingly. And he's just a God of mercy.
Woo.
And
amen.
He's always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
And he's my everything.
Yes.
I couldn't go by a day without him. And Megan had made a comment, a few days ago that, you know, on Sundays when we're preparing for the radio, is that I want to be that person all of the time.
Yes.
I don't want to be a wavering person who is so joyous one day and then just, oh, God, help me.
Right.
Next.
Amen. Good
I
point.
I want to live in that victory and walk in that righteousness. And I know with the Lord by my side that he's helping me through each day, no matter what I go through. And I went through a really rough week this week. But, you know, the prayers of his people and his love just showered me, you know, through the whole week and got me through. And it's amazing what God's love and how far and how deep it extends.
Oh, amen. Praise God. And he does. He sees us right where we are and meets those needs. And that's where we as a body of believers need to be reaching out to each other and praying in faith for the needs that come not only on our prayer line, but as we know what's going on in each other's lives. Megan, talk to us about this.
Well, you know that song. I don't think I've heard that song. That was awesome.
Wasn't it?
It was awesome. And you know, if you listen to the words, it says people just getting in their car and wondering, is there anything else more to this life?
Right.
And that's amazing because I know I've been in that position. And what we have to get to the point of it is we can't do it on our own. And I know we
right.
talked about this last Sunday, but we need a shepherd. We need a leader
Amen.
In our life.
Amen.
And that's what we need to realize. Instead of wandering around with your hands over your eyes, wondering where you're going to go next,
right.
realize that there is someone that can lead you down the path that you're supposed to go.
Yes.
But we have to be willing to relinquish our lives to him
Amen.
And make that decision that we have a right to live a life of joy and not of sorrow. And, you know, it's just like when you talk about your mom and dad, how they went into the mission field
right.
and took you with them,
yeah.
is that they went on a leap of faith. They let God lead them.
They did, yeah.
That was such a blessing that they were able to do that, and how many lives you guys touched when you did that. I mean, when we let the Lord lead us, we would be amazed where he takes us because, I mean, every day I think I'm exposed to something with someone where I recognize, hey, you know what? I see that in you, and I'm not going to let you fall because
right.
I recognize that Satan's trying to take somebody down, and, you know, whether I tell them or not, I am going to pray for them.
Right.
Because I don't want my brothers or my sisters or my family being pulled down into the trenches, and that's what we need to start doing. We need to start praying for each
other.
You
know, Megan, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going back to chapter 3, we're in 1 John 3, and verse 8 is one of the most important verses in that whole chapter. And it said that this is the reason the Son of God entered and came onto the scene Well, in some translations, the Message Bible says the Son of God entered the scene to abolish the devil's ways. And that word abolish, or in some other translations, I forget the other word it is in some other translations, but the original Greek word there is luo, for abolish, destroy. Yeah, some translations calls it destroy the devil's work. The Greek word there for destroy or abolish is L-U-O, luo, and it means this: to undo it, to loosen it, to release, to set free, to do away with. Jesus came to show us that we have, as children of God, the authority and power to release people, to pray over them and bind those chains that are trying to destroy them, to break the power of sickness in their lives, to loosen them from the bondage. I love Isaiah 51:14. It says, "The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking." I love that. One of my favorite verses, Isaiah 51:14. "The one in chains will soon be set free and will not die in the dungeon, nor will his bread be lacking." And some of you out there in Radio Land today may feel that you're bound up in chains, maybe chains of discouragement, defeat. Maybe you feel like you have no one in this world you can trust. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you have no idea where your next dollar is coming from, or a job that you need. Or maybe you've got broken relationships in your family and with friends. And Jesus came to undo, to loosen, to release you from, to set you free from all the tricks and schemes of the devil. We could have a whole show on that, and probably will soon, because that's what it's all about. And one of the tricks of the devil is to keep you in such self-centeredness that you don't realize that God is God of love, and he expects us to reach out of ourselves into the world around us with God's love. And I know I got on a big old preaching jaunt there, but Megan, talk to me, and then we'll get back to Betty. Mama Betty. I tried to say both words at the same time. Mama Betty. It came out, I don't know how it came out. Go ahead. I can't do it again, so go ahead.
Well, you know, when you're living in a life with chains on you, it's not real easy to move, is it?
Right. Not at all.
And so when someone prays over you, or you declare over yourself that the chains are bound,
amen,
when you decide that you're going to stop being a watcher and you're going to start being a warrior, you're going to change your life, and you're going to start praying with confidence and courage.
Woo! Amen.
And you're going to start changing your situation, because I'm telling you what, people, Satan wants you in the pits. He wants you bound with chains.
Yes.
That's what he thrives on.
Right.
So get set up with letting Satan have his way.
Right.
And stop the pity party. Get out of it.
Get out of it.
That is nothing but pure evil.
Amen.
And come out into the light. Come out and into the Savior's light, and let him save you, and let him hold you, and let him heal you, whether it be of physical ailments, emotional ailments, whatever it may be. Let our Savior heal you.
Woo!
Let him heal you.
Woo! Amen, girl. You're on that preaching rant, too. Now let's see about Mama Betty. Let's see where she goes with this.
Hey, I'm just sitting back here just saying hallelujah, praise God. you know, it's I've been praying in the last few minutes, and it seems that there are some people out there, Pastor and Megan, that are in a tug of war.
Right.
Amen.
They are fighting with everything that they have to resist the devil.
Right.
If you resist the devil, he will flee from you.
Amen. James 4:7-8.
He keeps pulling them back in.
Right.
And I'm going to speak this with boldness, that if you're a spokesman for Satan, give up.
Woo!
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because it's become so prevalent in today's world to let the enemy rule our lives.
Yes, yes.
It seems like it's...
With hatred and strife and everything, yes.
And please correct me if I'm wrong, But people just seem to think that, well, when I was serving God, I just had so much more going on. I just had more trouble. And it just seems like when I got away from God that, you know, he just wasn't he wasn't using me. There wasn't as much trouble. And it's like, uh-huh. You know, that is a lie of the devil.
Yes,
and,
it is.
You know, you,
deception.
You if you've been a child of God, come back.
Amen.
Because his arms are open wide. If you haven't received Christ, there is a very, very simple prayer that you can say that people, you need the Lord.
Amen.
If I could preach, and I'm not a preacher by any means, but if I'd say that, come back.
Amen.
Come back and watch what he can do.
Woo! You know, you are right on, and there are some out there right now, I believe with all my heart, that want to recommit their lives to the Lord. They want to nail down their salvation. And so let's just do that. And Megan, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. So people, you can repeat with Megan. And we're going to pray the prayer of salvation right now. Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he died on a cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That he died on the cross for my sins and sicknesses.
That God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
That God the Father raised Jesus from the dead.
That he is the risen Lord.
That he is the risen Lord.
And my Lord.
And my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
I invite you now, Jesus, to come into my heart.
I invite you now, Jesus, to come into my heart.
To live in me.
To live in me.
And become my personal Lord and Savior.
To become my personal Lord and Savior.
I ask you to forgive me now.
I ask you to forgive me now.
For anything and everything I've ever said or done.
For anything and everything I've ever said and done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I ask you to forgive my sin.
I ask you to forgive my sins.
I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
I accept you now as my personal Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name, amen. This I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray. And this, I just messed it up.
That's all right. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Aha! All right. Praise God. Betty, talk to those people, please.
I've been where you are. I have felt hurt. I have felt pain. I felt discouragement. I have so longed for someone to reach out and care for me.
Right.
And I know someone that will do that.
Amen.
And that's the Lord Jesus
Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
There is no greater power. There is no greater person that he laid down his life for us. He laid
yes.
down his life
yes.
for you. And God did give his only Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
And it's so wonderful once those chains are gone that you're out of the dungeon, you're out of the darkness and into the light.
Amen.
And don't let the darkness overcome you.
Amen.
Be a child of the light.
Woo.
And let it shine. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he loves you for
Amen.
Who you are.
Amen.
And he picked you. He picked you out. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head.
Amen.
He picked you. He is picking you out to call you one of his chosen
Woo.
Ones.
We did a song that today that I haven't done for years that if you, Betty, Megan, you probably remember us doing this at Cornerstone years ago, The Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah has broken every chain. Remember that? Maybe you don't. The Lion of Judah has broken every chain and given to us the victory, okay, again and again. The Lion of Judah has broken every chain, given to us the victory again and again. And that's the, Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And when we come to him and accept him as our Lord and Savior, he does a work in our lives and breaks those chains of bondage that we have all had in our past, things that have just drug us down. maybe you're prone to self-pity or worry or anger or hostility or rage or whatever, or any of a combination of a ton of things, God is able, because he loves you so much, to break the chains of all of that that has held you in bondage. We need the Lord. People need the Lord. And we are going to do that song by Avalon. And that was scheduled, and you two didn't know that. And doesn't this fit? Isn't this amazing on these shows, what God's Holy Spirit does? He knows the needs out there in Radio Land, or later when people listen to these shows on our website. Yes, he knows who's going to listen. And we thank God in advance. This song is so true. And Betty mentioned it earlier in the show, not knowing it was coming up on this show. People Need the Lord by Avalon. To fear. Praise God. People need the Lord. And that's the bottom line of all of this, that we need a relationship with our loving Heavenly Father who created us, who caused us to be born, who caused us to have life. And this loving Heavenly Father cares about every detail of your life. Everything you're going through, He cares about. He has answers. He has a way of working things out. And He wants to teach you about His great love. And it is so amazing. People, we need the Lord. We need Him every day. Betty, you said that we need Him on a daily basis. That's that relationship. It's not just fire insurance, which some people think they only need the Lord so they can get saved and not go to hell someday. That's not what it's about at all. It's about a daily walk with the Lord. Talk to me, Megan, about that, and we'll get to Betty in a minute.
Well, and you know, it's also not just going to church on Sunday,
right,
and then sinning six other days of the week and then going back Sunday and asking for forgiveness again.
Right, That's
totally wrong.
That's not repentance, you know.
Exactly. A daily walk with the Lord means before you put your foot on the floor in the morning, that even if you just say, Jesus, thank you that I'm still here, that I'm still breathing, and that I'm able to walk today in joy and peace, put on the full armor of God and start your day.
Right.
And, you know, that's what it's about. And it's about when you feel like when you get in to a trench or you get downtrodden, that you take a few minutes. It doesn't have to be 3 hours, like Mom said. Just take a couple of minutes and pray. I mean, you can pray
Amen.
For yourself. There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, you should be praying for yourself.
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. And I know that's hard to do, but
no,
even if you just say, Lord, just help me. I feel like I'm stuck here. Just help me out.
Right.
And then when you do that, when you proclaim it, then live it.
Amen.
Don't just let it wash off your back. Proclaim what you've prayed and let that show through your actions.
Amen. Woo! Amen. Betty.
I don't know if I can top that. Tell you what.
Hey, she's a chip off the old block, don't you think?
Yeah,
you and Joe made a wonderful daughter there. What can we say?
Yeah, amen.
But
amen.
You know what? I mean, Betty, with that said, I mean, God is the one who formed her in your womb, you know?
Right. Right, exactly. And, you know, a lot of times, you hate to say this, but kids are a product of their environment.
Right.
That they, you know, teach your child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it. They may come back. You know, they may leave, but they will come back.
Right.
It's a choice that we all have to make, and my choice is to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And to give Him the glory and communicate with Him on a daily basis. And one of a dear friend of mine that lives down there in Florida said that sometimes if all you can say is the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That just starts almost like a chain reaction of things in the heavenlies.
Yes.
Because that name is above all names, and it works. It worked wonders in my life, and I know that it can work wonders in other people's lives.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, Jesus is the essence of God's love. He is the demonstration of God's great love as He sent Jesus to this earth. Jesus, His name, and I wrote this on the board this morning, means five things, so I'm going to give them to you real quickly. It means salvation. It means deliverance. It means safety, helper, and prosperer. I'm going to give those again if you just grab the pen. This is what His name means. This is the essence of who He is. And when you meditate on these five things, five is a number of grace. When you meditate on these five parts of Him, it is so amazing. Salvation, deliverance, safety, your helper, and your prosperer. That's who He is. That's what His name means. And when you accept Jesus into your heart, and if any of you out there just did this, maybe as a recommittal or as a first time in your life, we want to hear from you, and we want to be able to email with you and encourage you. And you can email me directly, pastor@bohmglobal.com. That comes directly to my email, pastor@bohmglobal.com. Or you can write to our prayers at bohmglobal.com. So, Megan, there might be some people out there who don't realize how much God really loves them. And I want to just bring this show right back to that point that we began with. Because one of these days, we're going to face him. You know, we shall behold him. One of these days, we are going to be in his presence. We are going to know whether or not we're spending eternity with him, or whether or not, you know, hell is the option, you know, or not the option, you know, or the decision. So, I mean, it's so important that we get to know him. Megan, give us some final thoughts here in just a few minutes. We're coming, we're winding down. These shows go so quickly, I can't even believe it.
I know. I can't believe it's almost time for it to be over.
Right.
But before we got on the radio, I was directed to Romans.
Okay.
And Romans chapter 3. And I've been scanning through this the entire time we've been talking, and I think I finally came upon what some people need to hear. So
okay.
I'm going to read just a very short thing here. This is Romans 3, looks like 1 through 6.
Okay.
It says, so what's the difference does it make who's a Jew and who isn't? Who has been trained in God's ways and who hasn't? As it turns out, it makes a lot of difference, but not the difference so many have assumed. First, there's a matter of being put in charge of writing down and caring for God's revelations, these holy scriptures. So, what if in the course of doing that, some of those Jews abandoned their post? God didn't abandon them. Do you think their faithlessness cancels out his faithfulness?
Good point.
Not on your life. Depend on it. God keeps his word, even when the whole world is lying through its teeth. Scripture says the same. Your words stand fast and true.
Amen.
Rejection doesn't faze you. So, if you accepted the Lord into your heart today, rejection is not going to faze you because you're going to be walking in the light.
Amen.
And I just pray for those people that did accept Jesus today, that I just rebuke the devil right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That all the chains that are holding you down are now broken.
Yes.
And can never reattach to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen. We agree
and
with that.
And may you be richly blessed as a child of God.
Whoa.
Amen.
Amen. Woo. Praise God. Betty, talk to us. Good stuff, Megan.
Yeah, that's awesome. Lord, your searchlight penetrates my human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Exposing every hidden motive, you actually gave me your spirit, not the world's spirit, so I can know the wonderful things you have given me. I am a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I listen to my heart as I look to the Spirit inside
Woo,
of me.
Good stuff.
Thank you, Holy Spirit, for directing me and illuminating my mind.
Whoa, praise God. Praise God. That's what we have as a right, as a benefit, to be because we're children of God. And one of these days, it says, we don't know yet what we're going to look like and how all that's going to be. Actually, I'm going to be teaching on that Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope about those final days and what's going to happen and how we're going, not the book of Revelation, but just about ourselves, what's going to happen, caught up together with him in the air and all that and what that means. And so we just invite you to get into the Word of God. Megan, doesn't it just change our lives, my life, your life, Betty's life, when we take the time to read and study and see what God is saying to us?
Oh, amen. Because, you know, when you have the Scripture down on the inside of you, and I, you know, here I am. I may not remember everything I read, but I'm going to tell you what, when I have the Word in my spirit, nothing and no one is going to condemn me and bring me down and bring me out of my joy.
Amen.
And that's part of being a child of God.
Amen. That's part of our benefits. Psalm 103, for those of you that want to make a note and go back and study this later, David said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He forgives all my iniquities. That's a benefit right there to be a child of God. He forgives all my iniquities, and he heals all my diseases. Heals all my diseases. A benefit of being a child of a living God. This whole show has been about how much God loves us and that we are his children. There are benefits. Go to Psalm 103 and you will learn some of those benefits. When we confess our sins, he removes those as far from as the east is from the west. Does he remove our transgressions from us? And it says he's not dealt with us according to our sin, but rewarded us according to our iniquity. In other words, God's not coming and saying, all right, you did this, 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 and this, so here's the penalty. No, Jesus paid the debt we could not pay. Jesus paid the debt we could not pay. Okay, and so we have that benefit of being children of the living God. Wow. Give me a final thought, Megan. We're just about out.
Well, you know, like I said last week, when you get fed up with the pit that you're in and you make the decision to claim the Lord as your Savior,
right,
your life will be changed.
Amen.
And just to whoever's listening, you're being called out of the dark.
Right.
And you're being called into the light.
Woo! Praise God.
Don't ignore it.
Right.
Don't ignore every little sign that Jesus is giving you, because somewhere along every day that you go, there is somebody that Jesus is in disguise and
right.
is trying to get your attention.
Amen.
So wake up, sleepers.
Let's go.
Catch the wave, because he's looking for you.
Whoa.
Every single day. Amen.
Oh, Megan, you're wonderful. Thank you, Megan Kramer. Betty Thomas, talk to us.
Hey, it's been wonderful to be here today, and please know that perfect love casts out all fear, and that Jesus is the perfect one.
Amen.
And we just pray that people walk in victory
yes.
this next week,
yes,
and tune in next week and be just doubly blessed as you were today.
Ooh,
and Pastor, we love you, and
love you guys.
We thank you for your word that you give each week.
Praise
it's a blessing.
God. Amen. Thank you, Betty. Thank you, Megan. So if you're in the Clearwater area, come join us for a service Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night at 7. We've got this great series on 1 John going on. It is not far to Jesus. Thank you, Betty. Thank you, Megan. This has been Pastor Marcia and Betty and Megan sharing the Word of God with you today. It is not far to Jesus. See you next week at 3 o'clock right here on this radio station. It's not far to Jesus. Here we go.
Safely to his side. There's no
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.